welcome to the Climate Tech Talks. I'm your host, David Contreras, an energy professional with over 12 years of experience in the sector. We will explore in this series, along with CEOs, founders, and the leaders in the clean and climate tech sector, the different pathways and technologies that will drive society towards a net zero future. Please join us. The views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not reflect the opinion of my current employer, TS. In today's episode, we had a fantastic conversation with Lubomila Jordanova.
Once we understood actually what the actual problem was, which was basically wanting to embed sustainability into your operations, not wanting to outsource it. You want to understand it as a KPI that is driving your bottom line. This is where we kind of kicked off our product development and also our process with different types of entities.
She's a co-founder and CEO of Plan A, a company that has created a carbon reduction software and an ESG platform that helps businesses of all sizes reduce their carbon footprint. We also discussed the recent news of a $3 million raise for the company, and also what that means to inspire a new generation of Bulgarians and also immigrants around the world. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And welcome to the next episode of the Climate Tech Talks. Today, I'm really excited to have a very special guest. She's a founder and CEO of Plan A. Her name is Lubomila Jordanova. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, no, very exciting. And thank you for making the time. So let's crack on. So you are very interesting leader. First, you come from Bulgaria, you have fintech, VC, and investment banking experience. And then you're one of those crazy founders to let everything go and start from scratch. I was listening to some of your interviews earlier on. And that's already interesting per se, but I wanted to start from the beginning. Then we jump into the Plan A story and how you got into that. So can you describe quickly in a nutshell your whole sort of journey into investment banking, finance, and how you had that aha moment to create a carbon accounting startup?
Absolutely. Well, my journey kind of has been one blessed with a lot of opportunities to learn and also take a different perspective from the one that I had, which has defined also the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing now. Before Plan A, I was working in the finance sector in different shapes and forms of it. It was kind of a logical step after my education that was in business and finance. I had the opportunity to study in some of the best universities out there, which allowed me to essentially kind of explore a lot of the corporate realm of work. And that was all great. My last stand before Plan A was a fintech company that is doing fantastically now, and I'm super grateful for this experience as I learned a lot from James and Chris, the two co-founders of iWalker. But something happened the year before I left, and that kind of stamped me and made me decide to change course. I went on a trip to Morocco, and that essentially gave me a lot of evidence that on one hand, climate change exists, and then on the other hand, that we unfortunately were not doing enough to be addressing all the challenges ahead of us related to climate change. This realization on this trip actually led me to spend close to a year educating myself, experimenting, questioning people, and kind of doing a lot of surveys, experiments with data. And within a short amount of time, I was quite convinced that there's no better way to use my time. And all these business skills that I had developed should be allocated elsewhere. That was in 2016, a year when definitely sustainability was not that big of a deal for many people. Companies didn't want it to be sustainable, at least it was not on the top of their agenda. And also society was just not speaking about climate change that often, which made it a bit difficult in the beginning because I had to convince a lot of people about the existence of this big thing called climate change. Yeah, exactly. But that was kind of the beginning and this kicked it off.
Interesting. No, very fascinating. So what sort of things did you saw then in Morocco that made you say, hey, there is something to be done from a corporate perspective, from even a citizen, and that moment of, hey, I need to put all my skills into creating something that address this, huge issue?
On the first day of the trip, I went to the most famous beach in Agadir, Banana Beach, and I had no skills in surfing, which made me actually have to be stuck at the beach and not do anything in the water, at least for my first day of surfing. So instead of that, I brought a book. I ended up reading a bit of the book, but quickly started looking around and ended up seeing a lot of trash and all sorts of trash. So you'd imagine pieces of paper, pieces of packaging, pieces of clothes, construction site material, a lot of shoes,
plastic things. You name it.
Actually, yeah, and all these different elements of kind of evidence of human existence. And I started collecting the trash within an hour. I had probably 10 bags. It was just so much, like you have no idea. And I hadn't even covered like a big parameter of the beach itself. So I was really shocked because this is essentially a place of kind of economical benefit for the country. And it's also a place where you have a lot of beauty, a lot of nature that it's there. No one has, planted it there. So you can make money out of this beauty. And this is what I guess the locals were doing, but without a lot of respect for nature itself. And this kind of made me a bit disappointed with myself because I clearly was super disengaged with the topic. Like I didn't know the amplitude of the whole kind of group of problems of climate change that, were impacting our environment, our planet. And I just left the country and went back to London where I was living at that particular point and started like watching a lot of documentaries. I was educating myself about a lot of different things, was learning about a lot of problems that were out there. I've always been obsessed with animals, so this was clearly further emphasizing for me the need to do something about it. So I kind of took this experience maybe as my opportunity to have an aha moment, a bit of a wake-up call to what was going on and decided to take a stance on it.
Yeah, interesting. And just going back to Morocco, obviously, well, I've been there. It's such a marvelous place culturally and, as you mentioned, naturally. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that one of the first products that you brought to life in Plan A, and you will describe Plan A in a second, is basically a program software that allows companies to basically look at the potential impact of climate change in particular locations and countries and areas, etc. Is that something that struck you in terms of where those countries would be, places like Morocco, Africa, Latin America, that are going to be impacted the most?
I don't like to go with assumptions into exploratory journeys. And I think when it comes to the topic of sustainability, there's a lot of question marks, especially if you're in the beginning of your journey. And this means that you should go without any predefined statements and visions about what should be the outcome. So when, just to give context to the listeners, what you're referring to in terms of a product is an algorithm that predicts where and how climate change will hit the hardest. This is a climate risk tool that essentially we're going to be bringing to life again in a bit more of a different form and shape in the coming year. And what it does is it essentially looks into the data for of a country and related to waste management, oceans, forests, wildlife, sustainable living, sustainable energy. And based off of all these data points, is able to say which topics related to climate change should be the first ones that a company focuses on addressing, or a country focuses on addressing. And when we started doing this analysis with my team that is based out of a lot of scientists, we actually looked into all these different data points and just wanted to understand what is the priority list. Because climate change, if you look at it as a topic, it's not one issue. It is a collection of issues that have interdependencies between themselves. And that means that we need to start basically untangling this, unfortunately, deeply kind of connected drama and unfolded into something that is kind of a to-do list. And this to-do list can give us a bit more clarity on what should be the areas of investment that we have, the kind of agenda points that we have as policymakers, as businesses, as individuals, and so on. And that is where the product started from in terms of a concept. And today it enables us to help companies understand how their supply chains are going to be impacted by climate change and also how they are negatively impacting our planet.
Yeah, no, that's great. Just listening to both you and even some of your previous interviews, there were a couple of things that stand out to me. Is one, which is one of the main reasons also we're doing this podcast, is elevating science to your clients, to the wider society. The second one was, and is for you, data. You've mentioned a couple of times that in the interviews, the 300,000 data points that you have. And the third, it's storytelling. So I would like to go kind of a quick review of those. Maybe we can combine science and data. Can you describe it? How do you use, you know, climate science to connect and make all these kind of predictions? And I'm not even sure if you go all the way to forecast, but what sort of data points you're touching on?
Absolutely, yeah. So when it comes to data and technology, what I always say in any discussion that I have is that since day one, Plan A has been connecting science and technology to enable businesses to make better decisions. What does this mean in a practical level is that we have a full-fledged scientific team in-house working together with support partners coming from Yale, from MIT, TH Zurich, and other universities, where essentially we are able to use all the knowledge that is out there and all the frameworks and methodologies that are out there to translate this into a product that is according to the standards of big banks, according to the standards of big corporates, and enable them essentially to be better at making decisions for the future, a future that is highly dependent on the preparedness a company might have on sustainability, on climate change, and also on this level of responsibility that is expected now from any organization that is out there.
Yeah, no, thank you. In terms of the third point, which is storytelling. You mentioned in your early beginnings with the company, 2016-17, sustainability wasn't as hype or front of mind in many people, even in society. But what would you say? Obviously, that narrative changed maybe a couple of years ago, and it has continued to be more and more important in government's agenda and in corporates as well in terms of the new pledges that we hear in terms of net zero, et cetera, et cetera. But how important for you and for Plan A was the whole storytelling that you were using and bringing science and data and manage it to tell it in a compelling way to raise, you know, this issue and make sure that people and especially corporates were taking action?
One of the things that is particularly important when we talk about sustainability and climate change for us to understand is that the guilt that is being imposed on all of us is not fair, because it's not for one stakeholder to be responsible, it's for everyone. And what this means is that essentially we need to start thinking all together as a team and understand that the actions that a business takes actually impact the users of the particular product or the consumers of the particular product. The choices for policies that a government is going to make also impact not only businesses, but individuals and other stakeholders, and so on and so on. All of the different stakeholders actually work together and have continuously together have had this negative impact on the planet. And today we're facing this moment of realization where we understand that all of us need to do something about it. And the most important element for us now, while organizing ourselves to do something about it, is that we see how every single effort made actually makes sense only if it's done in combination with the efforts of others. And with this in mind, in Plan A, we have always been respectful to the differences in understanding of sustainability. Some companies are really good at it. Some companies are just in the beginning of their journey. And by understanding this difference, we make sure that every single time we speak to someone, we adjust the way we present the story, and we tell always the facts, but maybe not overcomplicating it in the beginning, while at the same time offering the same solution that has the same effect on the planet. It calculates emissions, it gives suggestions on how you can reduce, and it helps with the reporting and compliance. So storytelling is really important, because people that are not engaged with the topic of sustainability or climate change, they need a hook. And a hook could be you giving examples of your own life. A hook could be you connecting on a more deeper level with the issue and the impact of you being inactive on the topic. What could be the implications? And when you put all of these things together, there's a higher chance of someone engaging with the topic. Storytelling is at the core of what Plan A does, and it's not because we tell fairy tales. We tell facts, we use the data, we're a scientifically driven company, but we just make sure that everyone is on the same level of engagement, and that doesn't come actually naturally if it only comes to facts. So this is in a nutshell what we do, and this is actually how we think about the topic.
No, I like that so much in terms of creating that hook. At the end of the day, we're all connecting with human beings that might be the CEOs of other companies or government officials or whoever the leader is. They need to feel, compelled and actually encouraged to do something and put something together. And that brings me to that early traction that you had, and maybe just if you can mention how that has evolved. I know that you can describe it, the clients that you had at the beginning and what sort of industries sort of came up afterwards. And then obviously congratulations for the news this week where you actually, or the team, managed to close the seed round with SoftBank, Demeter and Coparian. So I'm curious to the $3 million raise. I'm curious to see what sort of fuel that gives you to keep growing, what direction, sort of in terms of industries or geographies. So if you can comment on those two, your early clients, and now with this new addition, where do you go with Plan A?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a fantastic question, and thank you so much for mentioning the news. For us, it has been quite an exciting week, given we announced it on the 9th of March. I'm still dealing with all the messages and calls that I have missed from all these wonderful friends and partners and clients that have been calling to say congratulations. We're really happy to have the support of SoftBank, Demeter and Coparian, three fantastic venture capital funds, which are going to secure our growth not only across Europe, but also in the US. And also going to allow us to kind of scale at speed, also with, of course, respect to our mission, which is, of course, being impactful to the planet and our clients. In terms of the early traction, so we really quickly started getting a good understanding of what was the main challenge for companies when it comes to sustainability. Historically, the services of consultants have been the most popular ones, which means that basically a multitude of consultants would allow you to calculate your emissions, and then they would do an agenda for you for the year where they would tell you, like, this is how you need to go ahead with reducing your emissions or creating a brand around this, or more like corporate social responsibility engagements and communication. And once we understood actually what the actual problem was, which was basically wanting to embed sustainability into your operations, not wanting to outsource it. You want to understand it as a KPI that is driving your bottom line. This is where we kind of kicked off our product development and also our process with different types of entities. At the moment, we definitely have a strong focus on financial institutions, on fashion companies, construction, and also tech companies. So these are the four verticals that we cover with a lot of aptitude and depth, and this is where our product is already well developed. And we quickly shifted, because kind of the product exists for 2 years, we've quickly shifted between kind of the smaller types of companies to having actually larger ones as clients, because this essentially, in our opinion, is a clear capacity for us to have impact.
Yeah, no, thank you. So on that, I have a couple of questions. So you mentioned, well, the plan of expansions include the US, and that's always a good landmark for any European startup that wants to grow, right? It's a big market. So I'm curious about the competitive landscape in there in the US, if there are other companies that are sort of offering the similar. And let's say, I guess you can also describe briefly the whole carbon accounting structure and mechanisms that you're exploring and service, and how do you actually calculate that for companies to take an action upon that?
Starting first with your first question with regards to the competitive landscape, there's a lot of players out there these days, especially in the last 6 months, there's multiple companies that popped up. And what they do essentially is they calculate emissions, and they help companies report and offset. This is kind of the usual portfolio of services that they offer or features that they offer. The market has been quite dynamic over the last, I would say, 9 months. There's been a lot of money that have been poured into the space, as well as a lot of different companies that don't have much to do with the topic have shifted focus on sustainability, or professionals that have no previous experience in sustainability have been starting to work on the topic, which shows that now the market is ripe. The market is there, and it's a walk to the need that is out there for these kinds of solutions. In terms of the way we operate, we have a bit of a different angle, and that is defined by our historical capabilities. Plenty focuses on actual and tangible results. It's not only about analysis, it's actually about taking steps on, first of all, reducing, and then second of all, actually understanding your ESG performance as part of your usual and kind of traditional KPIs that you have on monthly basis within your process. What we use for this is science and machine learning. We are able to predict values of data that are missing. We're also able to use the scientific methodologies out there to really have an accurate perspective on the data that a company should look into when it comes to their carbon footprint. And for this, our platform is certified actually for the process that it offers. And it's also kind of peer reviewed by scientists that allows us to have this kind of confidence in the software, and also to be able to serve huge companies like big banks as well as big tech companies.
Great. I guess the accuracy of the data and actually have it certified, and so companies can trust in that, that's key and crucial, I'm sure. I know that you have another announcement this week that you're excited about, related to, you know, one of the pieces of software that you have dedicated to the events industry. Do you want us to tell us a bit about it?
Absolutely, yeah. So one of our clients is BMW Foundation, and BMW Foundation is the foundation of the big automotive conglomerate. is in the business of event organizing. And thanks to them, actually, today we have been able to announce a new module of our platform that is solely dedicated to event organizers. So this is virtual events, offline events, and all these little elements that contribute to the path of you organizing an event. That's all included in order to calculate the emissions of your kind of event. And today we announced actually this module at the biggest trade show that is out there in Germany, specifically dedicated to event organizers. And this module essentially would allow for a big transparency element to be added to how this industry operates and how they perceive and build trust in their clients for when it comes to sustainability.
Great. Congratulations on that one. One of the things that we built this podcast actually, as well as our own Substack, but it's really about the entrepreneurial journey from an immigrant perspective. I know you're Bulgarian, and as you mentioned earlier, you had the privilege to study abroad. You lived in London. Now you're based, we forgot to say that, but you're based in Berlin. What do you think news like, you know, the recent seed round, and even your whole career trajectory can do in terms of inspiring a new generation of Bulgarians, but I can even extend that to whoever immigrant out there that might be listening to this. Do you think that this could actually help the Bulgarian ecosystem in this regard? And what sort of message you want to communicate to all those young entrepreneurs, you know, from the immigrant communities?
I'm really proud to be from Bulgaria, and even though I left when I was 17, I have and had the opportunity since then to live in now 6 countries. I've lived in Spain, in Asia, I've lived in London, in other places in the UK, as well as in kind of different places in Germany as well. And although these experiences have enriched me a lot and I think have built me as I am today, ever since I've become an adult, I've been living in an international environment. I still have at my roots like a really strong and deep understanding for, you know, what it means to be Bulgarian, what it means to be connected to that particular geography. And I have utmost respect for all the beauty that the country offers, but also the intellect that is there in big chunks, actually, also outside of Bulgaria, because we have a huge amount, like probably close to 2 million people that are immigrants in a country that is 7. So quite significant amount of people do not live in Bulgaria.
Huge.
Yeah, it is huge. It's definitely huge. And just in Germany, we have 400,000 people. So you can imagine kind of the amplitude of this. And Berlin is definitely a hub for that. I really hope that my example is one of many going forward. This is a small nation, but there's so many smart people. Like the CEO of Robinhood is Bulgarian. The guy that is going into a lot of discussions and into a lot of trouble in the last few weeks.
But, he's been in the news a lot quite lately.
Yeah, GameStop is a bit of a different
saga,
story.
Yeah,
we don't need to get there. I'm definitely not the expert in day trading and so on. I think there's also the many examples of successful people that are in outside of Bulgaria. The thing that I hope happens at some point soon, and this is not only for Bulgaria, but also for other, I would say, nations, because I have a lot of friends that are from Italy, France, the UK. My whole team were more than 25 nationalities. And this is, it's really interesting to observe like how everyone takes on their nationality as part of their identity within a new geography. And I hope that one day there's a bit more connectedness between, you know, Bulgarians that are in different geographies and also, you know, other nationalities. There's definitely a lot of people that stick with one another, but we don't know of each other that much, I would say. I'm lucky to have my best friend from Bulgaria in Berlin. So a piece of home is with me.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I really hope that this event is bringing a lot of joy and happiness. I got a lot of positive messages from people internationally that from Bulgaria, and I hope it resonates in a positive way, because there should be more of those, and I hope I'm paving the way for many others to be proudly kind of announcing big episodes and big changes for their companies and for themselves that positively impact the brand identity of Bulgaria.
Absolutely, especially for those young women that, you know, can have that visibility. Hey, you know, Lubomila can do it. She can create a company with impact that, you know, is trying to reach out to, you know, other latitudes, etc. And then brings me, and thank you for that. Very, very inspiring. And, you know, me being part of the whole Venezuelan diaspora as well, I'm trying to do the same, trying to connect what we can do to maximize, you know, the help and the impact in this climate tech space. So with that, I'm going to try to wrap up, and I'm going to ask you, what question would you say I haven't asked you that you would want me to or you would like people to know about you or about Plan A?
I always find this question a bit difficult, because I attempt to live my life without expectations. I think the best bet you can have in your existence is to be with wide open eyes to all the experiences that come your way, to all the opportunities that come your way, but without a predisposition to why this is good or bad, or what does it really mean and what should happen now and so on. So I don't think I should have been asking me any other questions. I'm happy with all the questions you've asked me, and I'm really happy to be having this discussion with you.
It's been great. I absolutely agree. It's been inspiring. That's what we're looking for. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I get to spread the word that you guys are hiring, that you guys are growing, especially with that new seed round, and you're ready to conquer the world in reducing, you know, emissions. So congratulations, and thank you very much for joining us today, Lubomila.
Thank you so much, David. It's a pleasure for me to be here, and thank you for the fruitful discussion.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. If you like this episode, please subscribe and give us a like. It really is important for us. This episode was produced by Julio César Fernández.